Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Shingde Bhagwan Ki. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text Number 12. And if you're an American, this is very easy verse to remember, the text number. Because it was the War of 1812 with the British. They burned the White House, but they lost the war. Better is no war at all. Have something else. Squash game. Give them a squash. Okay. Yas yasti. Yasya. Of whom? Asti. There is. Bhakti. Devotional service. Bhagavati, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, that's pretty easy. Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. And akinchana means akinchana without any motive. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. Sarvai. With all. Gunai. Good qualities. Tatra. There. In that person. Samasate. Reside. Suraha. All the demigods. Sarvai gunais tatra samasate sura. Sarvai gunais tatra samasate suraha. And then, harau unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Abhaktasya, of a person who is not devoted. Kutaha, where? Mahat gunaha, good qualities. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna. Mano ratena. By mental speculation. It means the chariot of the mind, right? Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like a rata yatra. Manoratena. Asati. In the temporary material world. Dabataha. Who is running. Bahihi. Outside. Manoratena asati dabato bahihi. Manoratina sati davato bahihi. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. Sarvais gunais, sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura. Harava bhakta shakuto mahaguna. Manoratena sati davato bahihi. Boliega. Yashyasti bhaktir bhavati kinchana. Sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura. Haraba bhakta shakuto mahat guna. Yasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. Sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura. Bhakta shukuto mahaguna. Marjis. Yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. Yasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. Ratinasati bhavato dahi. Translation. All the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations. Yes. And must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a person? So Prabhupada could die. So this is... Prabhupada quotes this in Nectar of Instruction, our constant companion, and many places, of course. And it's a part of the prayers by Prahlad Maharaj as one of the Varshas on Jambadweep, like that. There's prayers by Hanuman, prayers by Lakshmi, and these are the prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, the first verse is also very famous. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namastejas Tejasi Aviravirabhava Vajranaka Vajradamstra Karmasayon Randaya Randaya Tamagrasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuishta Om Kraum. Hey. One time when dog was barking at me, I chatted that he ran away. He's more bewildered, you know. Yeah. And then after that, the next verse, right after that, here's somewhere here. Yeah, Svastiyastu Vishvasa Kalo Prasidatam Jayantu Bhutani Shivam Mithodhya Manascha Badram Bhajatada Doksaje Aveshyatam Namatirapi Ahoituki. May there be all good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. So at the beginning of every volume, Srila Prabhupada picked one verse, right? Like that. And guess which the verse is? Yeah. Nayam deho deha bhajana. Okay. It's the beginning of Lord Rishabhdev's verse, Rishabhdev's text. But originally, this was more than one volume, right? So the second volume, this was the verse Prabhupada chose there. Swasti astu vishvasa kalapasiddhitam. So these prayers have three verses right away. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya narasimhaya. Svasti astu vishvasa. Prabhupada's selecting that one. And then also the one 5.18.12. So they're very celebrated prayers. Maybe a couple more texts like that, and it's worth memorizing the whole thing like that. See, prayers by Lord Nisringadev. And today's topic is education. Die. And it says right here, all the good qualities of the demigods, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest automatically. So yesterday I was taking my notes, and one thing that kept coming out again and again is this conflict between developing professional knowledge and developing devotional knowledge, or devotional education and professional education like that. And say here the Prabhupada is making this point that if we just engage in, what is it? Bhakti or Bhagavati, Akinchana. We engage in bhakti to a Bhagavan without motivation, then everything else will also follow. Shraddha, Sabda, Vishvas Kahe, Sudhuradna Nishchay, Krishna Bhakti Koyali, Sarva Karma, Krita Hoy. This word Shraddha, what it means is when somebody is convinced that if he disengages in bhakti to Krishna, everything else will automatically follow. Like that. Hansa Duda, my guru. It's gone. What is there? I don't know if he's quoting Prabhupada, but many times you give a nice example that when you put a flower garland on your body, you don't have to put a flower garland on your shadow. It happens automatically. And somebody made this, one of the ladies made this point yesterday, that when one becomes a devotee, then automatically he starts to think about the welfare of other people, so many things, and he thinks, well, I'm probably going to be a grihastha, so I should have some kind of proper skill, no? To take care of my family. So automatically he starts to develop interest in these things like that, you know? And same way, of course, Arjuna was very, very, industrious, no? In acquiring professional education. And Krishna manifested the same thing, right? Yeah. Right? Krishna was a student, Arjuna was a student, and then he gave good lessons to the Kauravas after that, right? After his class. His classroom was a chariot, like that. His classroom was the chariot. He learned, he had questions. And then after that, he gave good lessons to the Kauravas based upon his own education. Like that. But the material education, the professional education, pretty much follows naturally. Maybe some effort. Prabhupada gives the example that if your father is dying and he tells you, one last thing, there's two big oak trees in the backyard. Yeah, okay. So start with the one on the right and walk towards the other one 10 paces. And there is a big box of gold buried there, you know. So Prabhupada says, yes, it's your goal. He says, yes, you have to dig, maybe like, you know, 1 foot or something like that, you know. But he said, other than that, it's your gold. So he says, yes, we have to make some endeavor. We have to chant like this and that. But the result is so natural, so automatic. There's, you know, who's not going to dig for the gold? Oh, it's too much work, you know. Big box of gold, you know. Yeah. So it's automatic. Some endeavors required, but it's natural, and spontaneous, and it's not all that difficult. So acquiring, and also probably one tape, he says, knowledge. He says, how to maintain yourself, being a plumber or these kind of things, or also being involved in administration. He says, this is not knowledge. This is shilpa. He says, shilpa. You know, livelihood, like that. You know? And also at the end of the first chapter, the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I was thinking that it wasn't very clear, like this and that, and I was feeling a little bit ashamed. How could I think that about Krishna's statement, that the idea wasn't clear? But Prabhupada says, the idea is not clear. That Arjuna doesn't have enough precise knowledge to engage, right, in activity. So he's confused. So Prabhupada says then in the second chapter, we come to vritti. You know, vritti, professional devotional service. Okay. So he's a devotee, like that, devotee. But it has to manifest itself as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. And of course, the extreme condition of Brahmana is sannyas. You know, so Sukadeva Goswami was also engaging in his professional activity, right? He was the most extreme sannyasi, right? Nityananda also did that, right? Digambar, yeah, dressed only in the four directions, like that, yeah. So everything is there, but it has to manifest itself naturally in different parts of the Varna Ashram system. Of course, then it becomes Daivi Varna Ashram. And sometimes there's this confusion. Another thing I was hearing, which appears to me to be the confusion, that we're talking about, well, what do we want to acquire, material resources or spiritual resources, you know? So the question here, I think, is not material or spiritual. I think they both could be material. But it's brahmanical resources or Kshatriya or Vaishya resources, like that. You know? Of course, Arjuna, Duryodhana and Arjuna both went to Krishna to have take him as a resource. You know, and there's an example of, you know, of what, you know, material and spiritual resources. So Arjuna went for the spiritual resources, and Arjuna, Duryodhana went for the material resources, like that. And they're both very happy with their conclusion, like that. You know. But many times we're talking about brahminical qualities, brahminical nature. And it's not spiritual. It's just, you know, hearing, chanting, all these kind of things, living in the temple. That's all brahminical activity. You know. What's the one, though? The verse. What verse am I trying to think of? Engage in your prescribed duty and think of me. Mamanushmaram yujacha. Mamanushmaram yujacha. So engage mam anushmaranam, very, very carefully meditate on me, yujacha, and fight, like that. And so that's the idea. And Prabhupada says that we can always do that by chanting Hare Krishna, like that. You know, so Arjuna is hacking away, Haribo, 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 Hari, Haribo, go, yeah, like that. Yeah. There was one baseball player in America, and was the final, the big game, you know, the national thing there. And this guy was just, you know, striking everybody out one after another, you know, wham, like that, you know, wham. You know. But his lips were moving, you know. So finally they got this super, you know, sensitive microphone thing, and he was singing Christian hymns, you know. Like he was doing it, near my God to thee, whack, like that, you know, like that, so on. And they said, they challenged him on it. What are you doing to sing these Christian hymns like that? He said, oh, it just makes me peaceful like that, you know. I don't really mean it with any kind of devotion like that. I don't, like that. But yeah, he did, you know. So that's Mamanushmaram Yujacha. You know, that we can engage in these professional activities, and we should chant Hare Krishna while we're engaging in our professional activity in the Kali Yuga. That's the most natural way to always remember Krishna. I remember as a brahmachari, we'd always be cooking the big feast and everything like that, you know, Sunday feast, and always chanting or singing while we were cooking like that. And then you automatically, well, you're on the altar addressing the deities, right? And you know, reciting different prayers about the deities, chanting. I would address Jagannath many times, over 1,000 times, address Lord Jagannath, okay? But so many times I would chant the Das Avatar Stotra. It was very nice. It was like, you know, he was He felt happy when I was addressing him like that. Yeah, yeah. So hearing and chanting, these are more brahmanical activities, you know, where externally the kshatriyas and vaishyas, they engage in their work, you know. But simultaneously you can be Krishna conscious in any circumstance, you know. So I think that's the point, is that they're not actually a good example, of course, is the blind man with the elephant, right? How many blind men went to see an elephant? Seven? One, two, three, four, five, six, okay. And they all heard there's an elephant, and no one had ever seen it. I knew what an elephant was before, so they all went there. And the first guy grabbed the tail, and he said the elephant is a rope, okay, that's one. Next guy grabbed the leg, and he said, no, you blind man, the elephant is a tree. And the other guy hit the side, and he said, oh, you're both blind, the elephant is a wall. Okay, another guy got the tusk, a spear. Yeah. Another guy got the nose. Yeah. The elephant is a snake, like that, you know. But if you just continue, you know, on your endeavor, you discover everything automatically falls in line like that. You know. So this is the other point about achinta beta beta tattva. We were arguing about that yesterday. How to balance these things, our professional education and our spiritual education, you know. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the beginning you have to balance it. Some time for your spiritual life, some time for your material life, your professional life. You know? One simple plan is the morning is for your spiritual program. You know, don't go on the internet with your left hand looking at your mail with your bee bag in your right hand. Yeah, don't do that. No. Yeah. Don't do it. Okay. Yeah. Have really focus, have a good, strong morning program, hearing and chanting. And so the morning is for spiritual life. The daytime is for making money. Go out there and do it. Make a lot of money. Yeah. And the evening is for enjoying. You know, go to the mall with your kids and, you know, buy some popcorn, look at something, buy some nice, you know, handkerchiefs for your deities, you know, okay, you know, whatever, read the, you know, watch a little Krishna movie on television, you know, something, you know, yeah, have your friends over, you know. So yeah, okay, then your day is there, everything's okay, you know, spiritual life is morning for spiritual life, daytime is for your professional activity, the evening is for enjoying life, you know. But, he says, as we become more advanced, we realize it's all the same thing, you know. That, you know, if you can't take the tail off the elephant, you can't take the nose off the elephant. It's all the same elephant, you know. And, you know, the legs take the elephant where the nose has some effective use like that, you know. And so the same way, you can't chant Hare Krishna if, you know, the society is so disturbed at every moment, you know, that you need kshatriyas, right? So everybody is working together. The brahmanical culture has to work with the, you know, the kshatriya culture. And then everybody else is protected. You know, the vaishyas can make their money, can engage people, and the people can take care of the land and the animals. And everybody has a nice environment for cultivating Krishna consciousness, which you can do in any ashram like that. You know? Think of chinta beta beta tattva. We're really not in favor of balancing things. You have to balance the individual rights with the rights of the state. No, our chinta beta beta tattva is if you try and develop the individual rights to the highest degree, automatically you'll see the state is necessary. The state is necessary for the individual. And simultaneously, if you just try and sacrifice everything for the state, it's a Marxist philosophy, no? Then automatically you see that, well, this means that the individuals have to have good qualities. If you want to really have a good state, we have to make sure the individuals have good qualities, you know? So our idea is 100% for the individual and 100% for the state. just give everything to either one, automatically the balance will be there in terms of giving it like that. It'll come out. It's inconceivably simultaneously different and non-different. You know? So not a balance. You have to develop your professional education. You have to become a very good Brahmin. You know? How many people here know how to use PowerPoint? Raise your hand. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's because we're Brahmins. Yeah. We're communicators, no? You're communicators. You go to the kitchen and ask how many of the cooks know how to use PowerPoint. What is that? Is it some kind of something you use for potatoes? Like that? PowerPoint. something about power right now. No. Yeah, yeah. Okay. How many people here have changed diapers? Raise your hand. Amongst the men. Okay. A few over there, more over there. I did it. I've been there, done that. Been there, yeah, yeah. So it's, if you're going to be a grihastha, it's a necessary skill. Like that. And it isn't that you have to take, you know, it's just automatically, you just figure, how do you do this? Yeah. So let's get this point, is education. But the main focus thing is right, is developing the brahminical qualities, this kind of thing. And the other things will follow. I think that's the idea. Is developing devotional activities, devotional qualities, then automatically, you know, the first thing in the morning, right, is devotional qualities. And the professional skills will fall in line like that. Prabhupada says, television, you know, and it's not that every single person needs a television. He says, yes, make four or five of them. He says, maybe a dozen. Make one dozen and spread them all over the world and use them for important things like that, you know. It is horrible. How can we live without television? It is horrible. Yeah. No. So everything will fall in proportion then. How much we need in terms of management abilities and management skills and, you know, knowledge of the physical world, you know, knowledge how much you need of a Gandharva Veda to have a good kirtan, you know. No, it automatically falls in line when the spiritual qualities start to develop like that. So that's my little contribution about education. Chinta Veda Veda Tattva. And, you know, the Prabhupada says, yes, shasti bhakti bhagavati akenchana. Automatically, these things fall in line once we start to develop the spiritual qualities. We have devotional service. And, of course, devotional service in the purport. As explained this in the next verse, Krishna is the original source of all living entities. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:7. Mamai vangsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Manashastanuindrani stanik prakriti karshati. If you just stop and try and test yourself whenever Prabhupada quotes a verse, automatically you'll learn verses and you refresh your memory like that. It's a very nice technique, just to stop and, you know, try and see if you know it. Yeah. And maybe if it's, you can also look it up later for the class or something like that. The living entity in the conditional world, the living entities in the conditional world are my eternal fragmental parts and parcels, parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. End quote. All living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, Prabhupada says. And therefore, when they revive their original Krishna consciousness, they possess all the good qualities of Krishna in a small quantity. Okay? So this is opposed to the sit still while I instill philosophy of education, right? Injecting the knowledge, right? This is more Socrates' idea, right? Of bringing out the qualities. Yeah. Okay. When one engages himself in the nine processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, one's heart becomes purified. And he immediately understands his relationship with Krishna. Okay. He then revives his original quality of Krishna consciousness. In the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 8, there is a description of some of the qualities of devotees. For example, Sri Pandit Haridas is described as being very well behaved, tolerant, peaceful, magnanimous, and grave. In addition, he spoke very sweetly. His endeavors were very pleasing. He was always patient. He respected everyone. He always worked for everyone's benefit. His mind was free from duplicity. He was completely devoid of all malicious activities. So if you're GBC secretary or a temple president, you'd like to have people like this, right, to work with. Wow. Okay. I'll take five of them. These are all originally qualities of Krishna. And when one becomes a devotee, they automatically become manifest. Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says that all good qualities become manifest in the body of a Vaishnava. And that only by the presence of these good qualities can one distinguish a Vaishnava from a non-Vaishnava. So it has to manifest. Krishnadas Kaviraj lists the following 26 good qualities. Okay, now you can see how many of these you have, how they're manifest in your body. Okay, he is very kind to everyone. Okay, he does not make anyone his enemy. He is truthful. Mm-hmm. He is equal to everyone. No one can find any fault in him. He is magnanimous. He is mild. He is always clean. He is without possessions. He is He works for everyone's benefit. He is very peaceful. He is always surrendered to Krishna. He has no material desires. He is very meek. Yeah? He is steady. He controls his senses. He does not eat more than required. He is not influenced by the Lord's illusory energy. He offers respects to everyone. He does not desire any respect for himself. He is very grave. He is merciful. He is friendly. He is poetic. He is expert. He is the only one that talks about material abilities, maybe. He is silent. So many of these seem, you know, silent, grave. How many of these are social skills, right? Are manifest in terms of other people, like that, so on, you know? So it seems to be that once society is cooperating properly, these other things just like automatic. You know, it's so simple like that to acquire these abilities, how to do things. Again, all these different things we need. What do we need? We need medicinal herbs. We need fibers. We need maybe a little bit of metallurgy to make some plowshares like that. You know, so really you don't need that much material knowledge. You know? And if nature's cooperating, then everything is very accessible like that. Devotees say when you're in Hawaii, you just go for a walk in the morning. When you're in Hawaii, you just go out for a walk in the morning and pick your breakfast like that. It's like some mangoes here, some guavas. They give mangoes to the pigs in Hawaii. Yeah. But that's I probably said it's a leftover from Dwapara Yuga. Like what is speak of Satya Yuga? And Prabhupada says, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, if we engage in the Sankirtan movement, it can become just like Satya Yuga, like that. And then it's naturally, you don't have to, you know, produce these things. They're there. The mangoes are there. Fruits are there. There's one cactus in Mexico. What's it called? Pulque? Pulque. And it's one of these bayonet cactuses that come up like this. They have all these things coming out like that. So if you break the top off and pull it, the fiber, the needle comes off with it, and the thread comes off afterwards, and you can use it for sewing bags and stuff like that. And if you're bored with your occupation of sewing up bags, you just cut a little hole in the center of the cactus, and the sap, you know, the juice flows in there, and you can drink it. And it's not no alcohol in it, but when it hits hydrochloric acid, it turns into alcohol. So after you drink it, you start getting a little bit loose like that. While you're doing away. So it's called the tailor's cactus. You sit there, you know. So everything is there, you know, professionally, psychologically, all in the one place. Prabhupada says that everything we need is in the plants, like that. But you just have to know, you know, how to deal with them properly to extract everything. Probably you can use your teeth to start with, you know, like that. Then after that, something else. You know. So this is the whole thing, is actually how to coordinate ourselves with nature. How to integrate ourselves with the natural function of the different species of life and with the elements. And automatically the demigods start to reciprocate. Bhakti Charu Swami told me that one time he was talking to Prabhupada about the Third World War. You know? One time they asked Albert Einstein, said, do you think that the Third World War will be fought with nuclear weapons? Nuclear weapons. And Albert Einstein said, I don't know if the Third World War will be fought with nuclear weapons or not, but I do know that if it is fought with nuclear weapons, the Fourth World War will be fought with rocks. Yeah. So Bhakti Chumar is also worried about this, you know, like that. Yeah, because he isn't a very good aim like that. So he was wondering, like that, what will happen to me, you know. Yeah. So anyway, he asked Prabhupada about the Third World War. And he said, Prabhupada kind of laughed. And he said, you don't know the power of the demigods. He said, one day they stop all the problems, you know, of the nuclear war. Second day they bring it back to normal. Third day they make it better than it ever was, like that. So this is the devatas. This is the way we do things. You try and cooperate with the higher sources like that. You know, if you have blessings from Saraswati, you know, how difficult is it to acquire an education? you memorize everything automatically, music, poetry, you know, grammar, all these things like that. Yeah. If you have the blessings of Indra, then what happens? Our body, which is a manifestation of Indra. Yeah, the hands are symbolic. So if Indra is there, you just manuality is like everything. You can do anything like that. You know, yeah. So when we assess here, the demigods become pleased, you know, by devotional service. Yeah, so on. And so we have to find our particular position in service. And what happens? We get all the qualities we need to do it, like that. The experience. To be an administrator, you can read people's minds. You can look at them and tell what they're thinking. You know. Like that. If you're a cook, you can move like anything, one knife in each hand, like that, you know, chopping up sabji, you know, like that, everything, yeah. So this is, you know, coordination of all these different things in terms of education. and again, a lot of it is social skills, living together, working together. And how much do you have to know if you're part of a good society? You're part, not a lot. You don't have to know a lot. Because you're part of a whole integrated thing like that. And people are talking about that. We're mentioning that as Dr. Bella in America. People had lifelong friends. People lived in the same house. In India, of course, people used to live in the same house for several generations, right? There's generations like that. You know, it was just, you could see the houses were very big, and they were designed so, okay, we're going to, you know, somebody's old, they don't need this room anymore. Over here they're having a new baby, so we'll just unlock this door and lock this door. So now the apartments were just by, you know, locking and unlocking doors, then the whole thing would shift, like how much space for different people like that and stuff. You look at the houses, you look at them, and just so intelligent. You know, these old, very old places like that, old palaces, you can just see how it functioned. Here was the king's secretary. His room was like this. Ah, this is how, you know, at nighttime he could go across to the king's room over there and knock on the door if he had to without having to go outside. Wow, just like that. Vastu. Yeah. So that's kind of my thoughts about the education here. Today also is yesterday was the appearance day or disappearance day of Jayananda Prabhu yesterday. I was very fortunate to have some association with him. Yeah, I'll describe a little bit of that. I came to the temple in San Francisco. I got a book distribution key jar. Yeah. I think I got it from Buddhimanta too. So I read it for 1 year. Then I visited the temple for a year, then I moved in. So I went to the temple, and after some time I was going there, maybe the third time or something, I came. It was about lunchtime, I was sitting with the devotees, and this guy came in with a rope for his belt, like that, some old clothes on, bigger guy. Jayananda was a bigger person, he was here now, maybe about this big, like that, you know. Yeah. So he sat down next to me, and he said, hello, where are you from? You know, he's very, always very friendly like that, you know. So I'm from Sacramento, which is about like an hour and a half from San Francisco. He said, yeah, we're having this big festival. You know, I always get up to Sacramento and put some few posters up there, and I can't get to this year. Maybe you can do it for me like that, you know. Well, okay, you know. So I'll give you a list of some places where you can go. Okay, you know. That's a lot of posters. That's not a lot of places to go. Okay. That was Jayananda, yeah. Yeah, anybody who came in contact with him was automatically engaged in devotional service. It was just like automatic, you know, so on. Another time, he came from the Midwest, like that, and I think his grandfather was like a Christian minister or something like that. And instead of doing this, he graduated in mechanical engineering. And doing this whole hippie thing and everything else. He's wondering, what is life? What are we supposed to do? Who are we? You know? So he's trying different things. And finally he heard about the hippie revolution, so he came out to San Francisco, and that didn't really motivate him very much. So he was driving a taxi. And he said the night before he actually came to see the devotees, he actually was crying a little bit about, who am I? What is life? You know? So he said, next day he went to see Prabhupada, and he was knocking on the door there. And he came to the temple, and they said, yeah, you can go see Swamiji. So he knocked on the door, and the Prabhupada saw him there with the devotee who brought him up. And he said, as soon as he saw him, he told the devotee, bring prasadam. Yeah. He said, so Prabhupada always knew what you needed like that, you know. So he came and he sat down, and he was eating there like that. This is a pretty good program, you know, big plate. And Prabhupada was talking to him and asking him questions, where are you from, what are you doing? He said, oh, you have a job. Amazing, you know. Nobody else has a job. Oh, okay. Yeah. And he said, then he asked him, and he said, well, you have any questions? And Jayananda said, well, yeah, what is the purpose of life? And Prabhupada thought for a second, and Prabhupada said, the purpose of life is to be happy. And Jayananda said, well, that's okay, that's a good, nice answer. Okay, let's solve that question. You know, of course, the next question is, how do you be happy? You know, but that's right. Okay. So very quickly, he moved in the temple and was there serving Prabhupada, doing so many things like that. You know. And a very tight relationship with Prabhupada. I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Satsri Maharaj, all commenting that if anybody is an eternal associate of Prabhupada, it's probably Jayananda, like that. You know, so on. One time, for example, he probably came just in time for the Rath Yatra, maybe like the day before or something like that, to San Francisco. And then it was the only Rath Yatra. And they had a little place for Prabhupada to stay, an apartment, and the room, living room was probably about like, you know, this wide, like that. You know, and so maybe about 20 devotees packed in there, and Prabhupada was giving a little darshan after he came. Then Jayananda came, and he wasn't in devotional clothes, he was in his work clothes from the Rath Yatra thing, came in, and Prabhupada, as soon as Prabhupada came, Prabhupada asked, where's Jayananda? He's out working the Rath Yatra card. Okay, yeah. So he came in and said, there's a business, Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, you know, greeted him like that. Then Prabhupada went on talking about philosophy, and Jayananda fell asleep and started snoring, you know, Prabhupada's darshan. And that, you know, the boys are kind of hitting him like that, Jayananda. And Prabhupada said, no, let him sleep, like that, you know, so on. Okay, so he's snoring, next lecture like that, you know. And next to the temple on Frederick Street in San Francisco was Golden Gate Park. And it's a really beautiful park. It's maybe about 15 blocks long by about 4 blocks wide, beautiful place like that. So Prabhupada like, used to go for walks there. So sometimes he would tell Jayananda, said, Jayananda, it's time to take your dog for a walk. Like that, meaning Prabhupada. Time to take your dog for a walk, Jayananda. And they would go walking in the park and just talk about, you know, different things like that, confidentially, the two of them. You know. And so many qualities, again, like, but again, different people, like, it seemed like maybe Tamal Krishna Maharaj was an incarnation of Prithu Maharaj or something, with the ability to maintain the people, keep them under control, or something like that. Satsri Maharaj's incarnation of Lord Brahma. You know. But anyway, Jayananda's manifest quality was humility, like that, humility. Always engaged in devotional service. You know, and the Rath Yatra, of course, he took that up because Prabhupada wanted it, and he just took it up. And he was an engineer, so of course all of his abilities and skills to build the first Rath Yatra carts, everything else. And he would go out at night to these construction sites, and so sometimes it wasn't quite clear whether it was something was like trash they were throwing away or like that. So anyway, he'd make a decision for them and come back with the different materials for building the Rath Yatra carts like that. Very practical. Different stories. I guess I won't tell all the stories. Yeah. One story. He had to get new pants. Like that, right? Because old pants had so many holes in them, he couldn't sew them up anymore. You know? So he went and stole a pair of pants. Like that. Because he hated to give money. Krishna's money. Like that. To things like that. So he got caught by the security guard. He had to go to court. So the story is he went into the court there, and the judge is going through one thing after another. There was no jury. The judge was just hearing everything, you know. People didn't want them. It was something simple, okay, you know. So he told the whole story and why he did it as a devotee and everything else. The judge and the district attorney who's, you know, makes the case against the guy were listening like that, and they said, well, yeah, wow, it's really fact. He said, but you stole the thing like that, you know, and so it's a crime like that. I can understand your consciousness, and it's, really, you're so sincere, it's nice, you know. But you broke the law, and so it's like, you know, it's a $40 fine. So Jayananda said, well, I have this $20, you know. And the judge said, well, wait a second, here's $10. And the district attorney said, okay, here's $10 too. So they made that a fine. And the judge said, like, hey, just don't come back here like that, you know. Like that. Find some other way to, you know, ask one of us for the money next time or something like that. You know? This is so typical, you know. And then there was the most famous stories. There was he would go every morning, not every morning, maybe like twice a week to the produce market in San Francisco, where they sell all these vegetables and fruits like that. And of course, San Francisco, the first industry is banking. The second industry is tourism. So you can imagine how big the produce market was. All these restaurants and everything else, hotels there. It was gigantic. So one guy, Louis, he had the biggest banana business like that. And he was, how do you call himself? Banana King Louis. That was the name he gave himself. Banana King Louis. And behind his desk, he had this big picture of his face like that. And it said, "Do not ask what Banana King Louis can do for you, but ask what you can do for Banana King Louis," like that, you know, like that. You know. So he was there. So Jayananda went to ask him for a donation for a Rath Yatra for the Hare Krishnas of bananas, like that, you know. And he agreed, you know. And all over the entire produce market, this was like, everybody was just amazed. They were laughing, and you see, my God, Louis is giving bananas to the Hare Krishnas. It was like, no, he is. Wow, like that, you know. I just couldn't believe it, you know. So he was doing this. So finally, Jayananda got leukemia, like that. And actually, it was interesting because it was right before Prabhupada left his body, like that. And just like Haridas Thakur left his body before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't want to stay around to see the disappearance pastimes. So very suspicious, the way Jayananda also didn't stay around to see the disappearance pastimes like that, you know. And also very suspicious, the way his disappearance day is the day before Lord Nrisimhadeva's disappearance day. Do you see what I'm talking about? Maybe, yeah. And of course, we all know that Haridas Thakur is an incarnation of, Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Brahma, you know. So anyway, let us speculate that maybe Jayananda is an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. Oh, okay. You know. But when you actually dealt with him, that was the thing, his qualities. One time I tried to be more humble than Jayananda. After Mangalartik, we pass out the Mangalartik sweets. And so a little bit of sweet rice fell from my hand or his hand. We were standing together on the ground. And we both were going to go down to, you know, pick it up, ISKCON style, like that, off the floor. But it was, you know, we were both going down at the same time. So my mind very quickly was thinking, okay, I'm going to beat Jayananda this time. Because he was always, any service, he was always the first guy to take it up, you know, go answer the door. Nobody wanted to answer it during prasad, everything. No, I'll take care of it, you know. So my mind said, okay, I'm going to be more humble than Jayananda. I'm going to beat him, you know. So as competition came like that, it all happened very quickly. And at that point, my mind became angry. Why are you forcing me to be humble like that, you know? Because you can see us, we all put this act on of being humble, you know. But then my mind became angry. Why are you pushing me to be humble like this, you know? And Jayananda was doing this, you know. And he beat me, he got it. And he said, oh, you know, Hanuman, this is a job for shudras like me and not for a guy like you, you know. But in that moment, I could see that it wasn't an act with him. You know, with him, he actually meant it, you know. And I had this experience of like the floor suddenly opening up, and there was like this hole there with no bottom. It's like, the whole experience was like, I could see, because other people, we're dealing with each other, you know, we're humble like that, but you know, if you push a little bit, it's going to start, horns start coming out, like that. You know, we know how much you can push people and how you have to be careful with them. And but with Jayananda at that moment, there was just no bottom to it. It was just, maybe there is a bottom, but it was just like, you know, something I never wanted to try and find out again, like that. You know? So many experiences like that. So finally, maybe his disappearance pastime, he got leukemia. Before Prabhupada left, he left his body. And the next year, the devotees went to Banana King Louis to ask for the bananas. And he said, yeah, okay, yeah. I said, where's Jay? You know, Jayananda, he was always called so Jay, you know. Where's Jay? Oh, he had leukemia and left his body. And Banana King Louis started crying. And he said, oh, such a nice person, like that, you know. So that was the quality, even though he probably didn't even know much about him, maybe Hare Krishna a little bit. Other people knew nothing about him in terms of like being a devotee or anything else. But the qualities were so naturally, you know, stimulating, that he was everybody's friend, like that, you know. There's so many times, it goes on and on. Another story was that he was building the Rath Yatra cart, and the wheels kept breaking. like that. It was a big problem. How they kept breaking because of the weight, everything else like that. You know? So finally he decided he was going to make iron wheels. Iron wheels for the Rath Yatra cart. So they were about about 8 feet tall. And they had a big, big like axle, thing like that. And the spokes were about this big around. There's this two bit of steel like that, going out like that, you know. And it had a steel band around the whole thing. And they were taken off every year, you know. So we had to put them in place. Maybe like six brahmacharis would roll these things into place, and they're praying to God they didn't fall down because, you know, like crushing it down. It was kind of like Gadachak's chariot or something like that. Gadachak's chariot. It was really incredible, you know. Actually, so many things. When Jayananda, when he was driving, automatically everybody would chant like that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, like that. So he assembled this thing, Hare Krishna, please don't let it fall on me, you know. It was automatically you became Krishna conscious when you're with him, you know. So anyway, he couldn't do the welding himself, so he hired one guy. We were in the Mission District, which was the Latin American district in San Francisco, but it was a really bad area. The Roxy Burlesque Theater was right across from the Hare Krishna Temple, and there were rats dead in the street and people urinating and vomiting and all the time. But it was, you know, it was heavy area, you know, so on. So he hired one Latino guy, Rodrigo, to do the welding, you know. And so we were there like Friday night working on some small project in the garage. The garage was big enough to put two buses in like that. It was so big, you know. So we were working this one small project, and Rodrigo came. He was all dressed up. He smelled good. His hair was back. You know, it was Friday night in the Mission District. You know, la 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 bamba. It was the whole thing. He was ready. You could tell he was ready to go out. And he came to get his money for his week's salary. And Jayananda said, "Oh yeah, Rodrigo, you're here for your money. I got it for you. But hey, wait a second. Let me ask you a question, though. I'm not a professional welder, and this joint's a little difficult here. How do you do this? How do you clamp it like that?" And Rodrigo said, "No, you got to do this way, and you did this that. You know." So 3 hours later, Rodrigo was still there. His jacket had come off. He was helping us, you know. And Jayananda said, "Oh my God, Rodrigo, I ruined your whole night. You know, I got you engaged here like this and that, you know." He said, no, it's okay. You know, now I've got the money. I'm going to go home. My mother will be happy to see me. All I would have done is waste the money, got drunk, and it's okay. It's fine, you know. So that was to him. It was just Jayananda. Automatically, he's engaged in devotional service. You know, so many people like that. Automatically, you know, so on. That is stories. That's about it. In general, in terms of teaching, okay, Jayananda's technique of education. He would fall asleep during his own classes. Now that's extreme, right? Falling asleep during other people's classes is one thing, you know. But falling asleep during your own classes, that's like, you know. I mean, so many times. I mean, for example, like, he had to give the class. You know, you're going to give class. Okay, you start giving the class, you know. Okay, it's chapter 6, this and that. You say, okay, read the verse. And you say, you know, you had an Ananda Swami, I think you have a lot of special knowledge on this topic. Can you talk about it? You know, and so he'd have somebody else give the class. Then, you know, it's that, you know. Yeah. And, you know, on and on like that. So, but his example, you know, people remember, right? That's how he taught. You know, he taught by example like that. Again, going 72 hours without eating and sleeping so the Rath Yatra would happen like that, you know. Being tolerant. You know, one time we were selling incense to all these people, so we were selling at this one head shop where they sold paraphernalia for marijuana papers and paraphernalia for using cocaine and all this other stuff too. So they had Indian posters too. So they were selling this spiritual sky incense. And they didn't pay their bill, you know. So Jayananda was on the phone with Bhaktivedanta, their president, trying to convince him to pay the money. And this woman had been like hung over for the night before, and she was so nasty, so foul mouthed, you know, and Jayananda was just smiling on the phone like that, you know. Can't help with it. And finally he was so tolerant of everything she agreed to pay the bill like that. It was amazing, you know. Then afterwards he kind of hung up and he said, "Yeah, I guess she got out of bed on the wrong side this morning," or something like that. But it was just no anger, anything, you know, like that, the person like that. You know? So many, always good qualities in depth like that. You know? Yeah. And again, the example, people remember that. That's, yeah, okay, I do the same way. It's one thing, one example after another, you know, always serving the devotees, everything else. You know? And so we're talking about academic education, but, you know, the students don't learn what you teach. They learn who you are. If you're teaching mathematics and you hate mathematics, What did the students learn? To hate mathematics. Yeah. So your example is what? You know, so much. That's the real thing. If you love mathematics, you're up there. It's so easy for the students to learn the techniques, the jnana. The jnana comes from the bhava, the jnana, the concentration, the meditation, like that. So as his teaching, that was it. He didn't teach that much, almost very little. You know, the philosophy, he would explain it simply, like that. Some people, like two Mexican guys, came to fix our walk-in refrigerator, like that. And they wanted, like, you know, I don't know, $40, and after talking to him, he got down to $20, like that, you know. But they started talking about their problems with their life, the guy had some problems with his wife, and they started talking about all this stuff. Within maybe like 15 minutes, the guy became his best friend, Jayananda. And he said, I don't know, you know, but my old granddaddy used to say, like that. And he would quote Prabhupada. You know, everybody wants to hear what your old granny has to say, like that, right? My old granny used to say this and that. Oh, yeah, you know. So he would put it in such a way that anybody could understand it like that. And in some verses, he would memorize verses and forget them. He memorized verses and forgot most of them. His Brahman thread was black from automobile grease, and he had forgotten half the mantras of the Gayatri mantras like that. Yeah. That. But his name is on the Vaishnava calendar with Narottam Das Thakur. So it's a very nice perspective of what is an educated man. And he was a Shudra. He was an educated Shudra, but he was a mechanical engineer, a big guy. He was happy when he was, like, you know, working with automobile grease and carrying big loads and that kind of stuff. You know? But, you know, again, I would say, if I had to make a choice, that, yeah, he's incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. All the qualities like that, humility. Yeah. And if your Prabhupada said, you'd be surprised who some people are in this movement. Yeah, Kirtananda told him that, who these people are in this movement. You know, you're dealing with them. And that's how Prahlad was teaching, you know, by example. You know. Maybe other people more elevated, but maybe we Westerners, and especially we Americans, need a good example, you know? Especially from Australia, even more example, mate. Right? Show us how. Yeah, show me. Like that. So any questions, comments, ideas? Yes, sir. Back in the back. Yeah, because usually you take your dog for a walk, so Japa. No. Prabhupada was referring to himself. Yeah, time to take your dog for a walk, Jayananda. Yeah. Yeah. But also Prabhupada would chastise him, too. One time there was no flowers in the altar, and he and Keshava Bharati hid the whole day because Prabhupada was so angry he was looking for them like that. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Any questions? Okay. So Prabhupada ki. Nishingde Bhagavan ki. Don't worry. Hiranyakasipu has power until sundown. You may have already noticed that in your mind. I notice it every single time in this day is that it's heavy until sundown because Hiranyakasipu has the power. So be careful. Haribol.